Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. Today, my guest is Vicky Elmore, and Vicky is a bit tired, she tells me, because of her busyness with Friends of the Earth and also her activism on behalf of the Palestinians that's going on in Melbourne. So today she's come to talk to us about climate adaptation and the role of food in that, and also a little talk about her view of activism and her own activism. I first met Vicky at the Bundura. Is that you call that an urban farm, Vicky, or what? Urban farm in Bundura. And Vicky had a couple of rows of garlic planted there, and she was taking part in a pop-up garlic farmer initiative and learned a lot about growing that one crop. And you can hear about that from the podcast that we did with that, about that at the time. The next time I met Vicky was at the Hurstbridge Food Swap, where she had brought some of the garlic that she'd grown at home to swap. And the third time I met Vicky was at Friends of the Earth's recent launch of their climate adaptation map, which Vicky will tell you the real name of, and also the purpose of it. So basically all about climate adaptation today, the role of activism and also the role of the food system. So welcome, Vicky.
Thanks so much, Anne. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for taking time, because I know that you've got back-to-back meetings. So would you just start us off by just telling us a bit about that Friends of the Earth initiative that's just been launched?
Yes, yeah, so we recently launched the Australian Climate Adaptation Map, which basically the aim of the map is to show who is up to what regarding climate adaptation and resilience across the country. It's something that we were really lucky to have an incredible intern do for us. Mm-hmm. They joined us for a short stint last year, Carlo Hengstler, and he made this map a reality. It was an idea that we had had for quite a while, but never really had the capacity to get done. So it wouldn't have been done without him. That's why I really wanted to give him a shout out. He couldn't be on, but we really wanted to visually show and provide information on the who, what, and how of climate adaptation in Australia. So it maps climate adaptation projects, both past ones and current ones that are happening. And with this map visual, people can zoom in and see what's happening locally, maybe find a project that they're interested in getting involved in some way, or just, knowing what is being done about climate adaptation locally. There's keywords and impacts you can search by. For instance, fire resilience, energy security, heat resilience, Indigenous-led projects, as well as food security, drought and farming, which would be relevant for many of those on this call today. Mm-hmm. And there's still many projects that are missing, so I also want to shout out for anyone, if there's Any initiative you want to add, you can go onto this site, and there's a form to add it. It's climateadapt.australiamap.net for anyone that wants to go check it out.
Do you want to just say that again, Vicky? Climate.
Climateadapt.australianmap.net.
Wow, what a great initiative. It sounds like the purpose of that is very similar to the purpose of the show, and it's basically to just is to spread a bit of good news, actually, isn't it? And to let everyone who's concerned enough to do something see what other people are doing. Am I right about that? Is that the idea of it?
Yeah, definitely. So it's to, show people what community-led climate adaptation can look like, inspiring projects that people, might want to replicate in their communities, in some way if it works for them, because of course climate adaptation is very localized. People need to look at the project and see how they could implement it locally and if it is relevant. So we want, just to inspire people to either do something locally or, to have that hope and see that these things are happening and it is possible.
Can you please just talk about what we mean by climate adaptation?
Yeah, so basically, climate adaptation is taking action to prepare for climate impacts that we're currently experiencing, as well as the incoming climate impacts that are going to worsen and overlap. Climate adaptation, it really needs to be very localized and it needs to consider the needs of everyone in the community and those most at risk, because we want to make sure that everyone's safe and no one's left behind. It's really, having a look at what local climate adaptation risks are and preparing for those in line with local needs. With, I mean, with climate impacts that we've got coming, our lives, our food supply, our health, both mental and physical, our sources of income, our cost of living, access to healthcare, housing, transportation, and recreational activities, like it's all at risk. So it's pretty, all-encompassing, climate adaptation. And we really need transformation of our, societies in many ways to prepare for that, which, is overwhelming, but that's also why we like to share, these projects like on the map to show that it is overwhelming problem, but if everyone kind of gets involved in something that they're passionate about and locally, we can all together prepare for this.
It's really getting down to the tin tacks now of the old slogan, think globally, act locally. We're now seeing this global crisis, and it's quite clear that it is going to have to be local solutions, and it's also going to involve political transformation, because we're going to have to get on with each other while all this is going on, and so our political stability is at risk, isn't it? To our security socially.
I mean, everything's at risk. There's definitely security risks, and risks of conflict over things like water. The Australian Climate Risk Assessment that we've been waiting for quite a while from the federal government, is meant to be coming out soon. And from what we've been hearing, it's pretty dire. That might be one of the reasons why it's been delayed. But yes, when that comes out, there will hopefully be more, political action on it. We definitely need that. And one of our parts of our campaign at Act on Climate at Friends of the Earth is calling on the Victorian government for more funding for climate adaptation, really adequate and ongoing funding. Because, the funding at the moment for climate adaptation from both state and federal governments is not really in line with what is going to be needed. And funding and preparation is going to save money rather than just responding to disasters.
Yeah, just reacting. Yep. So that's the campaign to influence the state government, isn't it? So you're asking for people to send emails to their local state member or both federal and state?
State. So for our campaign, yeah, it is a state-based campaign. So yes, we are asking for people to back us up in that ask for adequate funding for community-led climate adaptation. And yes, we go to Friends of the Earth Melbourne's website and find the climate page. You'll see both a petition you can sign, as well as an email template that you can send to your MP.
Brilliant. So if after this interview everyone just got on the Friends of the Earth website and got that template and just sent that thing off to their local member, that would be a good start, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And if you have time and want to, it's always good to add in a little personalized note of why you care about this and what you're experiencing locally and what you want to see locally.
Okay, well, let's apply that to you now. So you've been an activist for a long time, and you've clearly related that to the food system, but by taking part in the pop-up garlic farming initiative and also attending food swaps. So can you tell us a little bit about your story of activism?
So not, I wouldn't say, yeah, huge, long, long time. I think it was around 2019 that I started getting involved and jumped in really to the resistance side of climate activism with Extinction Rebellion, and did a lot with them over those years. When we got locked down over COVID is when I got more involved with Friends of the Earth Melbourne, as there were lots of online meetings that I could join in on. And then, yeah, following that, I've been doing quite a lot of that work and doing a lot around mitigation. But more recently, I've become more involved in the build and transform side of things.
The
So,
what? The what's that one?
build and transform.
Build and tra so you've started off with resistance, and now you're on
Yeah.
to build and transform. So both things are required, aren't they? Tell me about that journey from one to the other.
Yeah, so I guess it was this realization that we do need to be resisting things, and we still has a massive role to play. And I do still, yeah, get inside of that sport and support that side of things. But the realization that while we're resisting, we need to be creating and building what we want to see at the same time to have this alternative, understood and available. And it also is just creating these communities of care and solidarity that we are going to need to keep each other safe from climate impacts, and also just, creating a better world with more support for everyone.
If you want to hear us slam the atomic industry, then tune into the Radioactive Show on 3CR, 10 a.m. Saturdays.
Wildlife Victoria is a non-profit emergency response service committed to assisting wildlife in need across Victoria. Our trained and dedicated volunteers rescue and rehabilitate sick, injured and orphaned animals so they can be released back to their native habitat. If you see wildlife that may need our help, please contact us on 8400 7300. To donate or register to become a volunteer, hop onto our website at wildlifevictoria.org.au.
A 3CR supporter.
You're never alone on the loam, and it's time to get to work. We've been looking up, we've been messing around.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. My guest is Vicky Elmore. Today she's come to talk to us about climate adaptation and the role of food in that, and also her own activism. We've been messing around.
We've been freaking out. It's, and Friends of the Earth, yeah, has always had that slogan of resist and transform. So,
Okay, tell me some of the ways, not just politically, but personally, and they're both the same thing, really. But they're not exactly the same thing. But so what sort of things are you doing personally and politically to resist and transform?
So I think I've actually, through using the Local Food Connect site, which my area is part of in Melbourne, I've actually been increasing my own like involvement in local community and increasing my own food security by learning how to, you know, grow and sharing food and seeds. Food shares and swaps are really great places to meet people in your community, as well as to learn about local growing conditions, as well as just getting amazing tips on how to grow things. That's one of the reasons why, yeah, I love making sure I get there when I can. Just focusing on building my own community locally and making sure I have those connections, and also helping others to get connected. Doing a bit of my own growing. I've got, a smallish patch, but I've also was able to use someone else's extra beds on their property for a while. And I think that's always a good lesson, that you might not have your own space, but put feelers out there for someone else that might have space that they're not using that you can grow on. And that was part of the garlic pop-up program as well, as they used to connect people that wanted to grow and wanted to learn how to grow with people that had space that they weren't using that they could grow on. Unfortunately, that program is no longer around, but it was a great, great part of it. Yeah, something I might be getting involved in soon is there's a local who's starting a growing co-op on some land that they have. So I'm excited to get involved in that from the start and, build it up and learn more about getting things going right from the beginning.
Wow. And what's the grow? What so far, what does the growing co-op look like? What do we mean by that?
Not much yet. It's been a message on Facebook saying, I have some land I want to grow with other people, and working together. And it was just like, a couple of hours a week you need to commit to helping out, getting things going in exchange for some space. That's it so far.
We had on the show a couple of weeks ago, James from Bellarine Secondary College, I think, Urban Farm that they've got there, which is very well established. And he's now moving that on to another Colac school. But they talked about, he had a 24-hour blitz at the beginning to transform the land, that such as it was, the soil, into growing space, 24 hours. So people just worked all through the night. And so by the end of that 24 hours, everyone could say, look what we've done. So
amazing. Yeah,
that's a really creative, clever little initiative, I think, to do something like that.
Yeah, and it just shows you, like, together how we can, you know, get something done so much faster and easier when we all just pitch in.
Exactly. And does this sort of involvement that you've had at the local level, say with the food swaps, does it give you hope that we can build a caring community or make our community a bit more caring as we go forward into the future?
I definitely think we can. I believe in radical hope, which is in, you know, the face of knowing that things are going to get very, very dire, still holding on to that. I wouldn't be doing this work if, you know, I didn't believe in it and didn't think that it could happen, it can happen. There's some great examples of mutual aid networks over on Turtle Island, the US. So I think really for me, yeah, looking at those examples and what can happen, it is very inspiring. Not to mean it's easy. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, it's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm. And we've got that long history going back to the 70s of people, you know, having a crack at all sorts of intentional communities, and there's that learning still in the community, you know, in the memory. So we can keep building on that. So Vicky, where can people find out a bit more about those mutual aid networks that are already going on in Turtle Island?
Yeah, so there's a really great website called Shareable, and it has a lot of mutual aid 101 discussions on it and examples, and it really has these great guides on how to pull together things like Library of Things from like start to finish. Uh-huh. So it's such a great resource, that website. So yeah, I'd really recommend having a look at that when you have a chance. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was a really great Mutual Aid 101 series podcast that I was listening to.
And anyone interested in the concept of Library of Things, Sustainable McLeod's just started one up. So you can go back a few episodes and look at Robin and Paul Gail Baker talking about the Library of Things that's up and going at Sustainable McLeod. So it is all happening. Okay, finally, before we go, just to remind people how food systems and climate adaptation connect.
Yes, so I think a climate impact that really few people are thinking about and not enough people are thinking about is the impact of climate on food security. So we're already seeing disruption and the prices of food increase due to lack of supply due to climate change. Of course, due to, you know, water scarcity and drought. There's also disruption to food being transported where it needs to go. We've seen that during disasters, as well as damage to farmland and farm infrastructure. And actually, Farmers for Climate Action did a recent survey where 92% of farmers have experienced changes to seasonal conditions and climate-related impacts to their business over the last 3 years.
Is this in Australia or worldwide?
In Australia, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That was in 2023. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, farmers are definitely experiencing this. And mental health-wise with farmers, there's this link to increased suicide rates in rural Australia. And recent research has also shown that over 2 million Australian households have experienced severe food security in the previous 12 months. And disasters such as floods, bushfire and droughts have contributed 19% of that severe food insecurity. I think it's really something that we need to be aware of and finding these solutions for and preparing for.
And of course, you're not going to be self-sufficient. So I think we've learned that there's no self-sufficiency. It's got to be community sufficiency, doesn't it?
Yes. Definitely. The localization of food systems is a very important one for these impacts and preparing and making sure, that we're growing locally and, have access to food locally. So that is, one of the really important solutions, as well as looking at how and what we're growing, and improving soil health is another big one. So these are all things that are really actionable at a small scale in communities. Mm-hmm. And so these are things that, we need to get going. And at the same time, doing these initiatives together, they build community, which is one of the most important ways to prepare for climate impacts and disasters, is really having those connected communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So take us now to... What have you got growing at your place? What challenges have you got at your place, and what have you done to help your soil?
So I've probably unsurprisingly from the previous garlic reference, have a lot of garlic growing. I've still been saving seed from that, so still getting a good garlic crop. What else have I got? Bok choy, the usual silver beet and kale, strawberries. I saw some just starting to get some strawberries growing. My peas are growing at the moment. I've mainly got above ground wicking beds, because in Hurstbridge we got very clay soil and also a lot of trees in the backyard. So there's wouldn't work for me to grow directly in the soil where I am. Which, yeah, just means a lot of, making sure that the soil in the beds is refreshed, and has all the nutrients in it. Still getting there with making my own compost. It's been a bit of a slow process of getting that right for adding that to the beds, but yeah, I think we're nearly there. And yeah, like I said, I haven't got huge space, so I'm really, looking forward to branching out and farming with some others on a big patch of land. And yeah, I really enjoy it more when I'm doing that with others. I love pottering around my own garden, but that's more pottering, and I feel like we need to do the hard work. It's great to do it together with others.
Especially because everyone's got different ways of looking at things. So you want someone who's very precise in the team, and you want someone who's got the big picture, and you want someone who's, happy to just do a lot of physical work, and someone who wants to plan it out, So we're not, few of us are adequate to the whole thing on our own, and it's hard to inspire yourself continually without that connection with other people.
Yeah, definitely. And the joy of sitting together around a cup of tea after the hard work is just lovely.
All right. Okay. We'll leave it there, Vicky. Thanks for making time because I know you're busy. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Anne. Yeah, hopefully see you again somewhere soon.
Well, that's all we have got time for today. It was a pleasure chatting with you, Vicky. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.